In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, in honor of Father's Day, we bring back one of our favorite gay dads, Tom McMillan Oakley, to hang out with us. He updates the Cubs on the goings-on with his family in the past year and includes some of his own personal projects. We have some fun while he takes a break to sit down and chat with us. So listen or watch as COL 318 starts now.
Welcome, everyone, to Cubs Out Loud, episode 318, Father's Day Update Show. And, of course, if you know the show, I'm Gary. And with me, as always, is the ever-fabulous co-host.
Hello, everybody. It's Damon. How are you guys doing?
So, tonight, Jeffrey, our producer host, had a prior commitment, so he's not able to be with us. But he's with us in spirit.
Aww.
And I am so excited to say that we have returning this year, 1 year later in the month of June 2014, we did an interview with Mr. Tom McMillan Oakley.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you guys?
We're good.
We're looking at your handsome furry face. What more could we say?
Exactly. Well,
I will be the Papa Bear to all the Cubs here. So.
Yay!
Yes, yes. So I'll be your den mother or den papa tonight. Okay.
So, and all the and fapping begins across the land.
Oh, it's that kind of podcast. All right.
Well,
yeah.
With certain limitations, Google and their YouTube terms of service stuff. So. Last June, we did a Father's Day show. We talked with you and interviewed about the book that you had released called Jesus Has Two Daddies.
Right. Did you guys buy it yet?
Actually, I did buy a copy on Kindle.
All right.
I will admit I did not read the entire thing, so I know I'm going to get chastised by the professor for not finishing the book, as probably required. You're going to get paid for that I bought the book.
You had a year to read it.
Oh.
127.
As you go.
Anyway. Well, yeah. That was the big thing last time was, well, it's in the book. You know, you could buy my book. The shameless pimping of myself.
You really did a lot of great RuPaul product placement, you know.
I did. And I don't have a book up here. I could just hold it next to my face the whole time.
Well, there's a demerit. I can't believe you don't have a copy, right? You know,
available on Amazon.
CreateSpace and Amazon, yes. Listen, it was trying to get the kids around and trying to get dinner on the table and get them in their their beds before you guys. Like, you know, it's all Papa Dearest tonight, so we.
You're going to be full of hashtags tonight. I love it.
Todd's downstairs corralling the children and keeping them from being up here, hearing anything, and, you know, all that good stuff. So,
I get the impression, Tom, in your relationship that Todd shies away from the limelight and you're more drawn to it.
All right, he teaches elementary school, and he's out because we've been on TV, we've been in the national press, the international press. The Guardian picked up our story a couple of months ago. So, you know, he's out, and people know him, but he's like, you just go and talk and do our thing, you know. He's the kid wrangler, you know. I said, yeah. He's got the Raptors down in the Raptor pen, and we're here telling the story. So,
aww.
You know, we just, both of us just did a survey. Abby Goldberg is this researcher, and the Supreme Court actually heard some of her testimony because she looked at gay parents and how kids are with gay parents, and we're no different than heterosexual parents. You know, we divide the work equally, and we divide, you know, how we handle things with the kids differently. You know, I'm the yay dad, let's go, let's ride roller coasters, let's go and run around and do stupid things. And Todd's the, it's time to go to bed. Namaste.
Todd is the Zen daddy.
The incense comes out, and you know it's bring the children down. But I'm the rile up. He's the calm down. Is that gender specific? I don't know. But you know, I cook. He fixes things. All right. I'll do the laundry, but he folds it. I'll just shove shit in a drawer. You're gonna iron it anyway. Why take the time? Well, we could just like cram that crap in there. We divide the roles, so you know, nice. it is what it is. So.
Which is a good thing to do. As Jim and I, if you haven't figured it out by now, I'm in a different location. I've moved into my house, so yay for that. But one of the things that we're realizing, and we're going to realize, is that we're going to have to divide all the tasks that we normally do on our own up, you know. Right. And we have determined Jim will handle the kitchen because he's the better cook. Jim will handle the gardening, yard work, blah, blah, blah. I will take care of cleaning, even though I'm not the greatest at it, but I will work on that and laundry and things like that. And it's really just a matter of dividing the task and making sure it's, you know, no one's overworked or too stressed out or anything like that. So, and as we...
I was just by a child, so I'm saying goodnight. Goodnight, Eli. Goodnight. Love you. Love you. Say goodnight, Eli. Oh. Anyway. I'll get the dart. He's out.
Oh. But no. It's fine. It's just imagining. It's going to be imagining doing those tasks, and I can see that being
right.
Fun and interesting, and also a little bit, you know, a little stressing, but not too stressing.
So last year we did talk about.
Go ahead.
No, you're fine. Go ahead, Tom.
All right. We kind of figured this out. You mentioned yard and gardening and everything. I hate winter, and I hate getting up early, and I just never got up to do the snow, because we live in Michigan, and there's, you know, like a million feet of snow. So Todd does the snow blowing in the morning, and I will sweat my butt off in the middle of summer mowing the lawn because I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I will. Die of heat stroke before I will go out at Oh Dark Ugly to you know, so we figure that out. And I'm not going to lie, we as teachers, we make a nice salary, and we're able to, this is going to sound so white, but we have a housekeeper.
Oh, that's fine.
And she... You know, we live in a three-story house. We have two kids, and we both have full-time jobs, and this woman does an amazing work, and it keeps us sane.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
She comes in once every 2 weeks, but every day it looks like Hurricane Katrina hit in our house. And I'm picking up Band-Aids and juice boxes and sticky things that I don't know what. All right, this morning, a goddamn dead bat in our dining room.
A bat?
Our cat had evidently had quite the night chasing this bat around that just killed it, played with it, and just left it. So I walk in, you know, to go get my phone, check my messages, and squish.
Oh.
There's this little dead hairy thing laying there, and I certainly heard the squeal. It was the
scream
heard around the world, because I was like,
oh god!
I told Todd, you got to pick that up. I can't do it. I can't.
Oh.
Do it.
Oh.
And then the cat comes up and he's trying to rub on my face. I'm like, no.
I know what you did.
I know what you did, girl. Get away from me. So, anyway, everything. Sticky and weird when you live with kids. But anyway, Much like a beer run.
So, in regards to having kids and things being a new environment in your home, has there anything happened in the past year since we last talked? Any milestones? I mean, the kids are older, obviously.
Right.
And they're both in school now, because I think last year when we talked to you, Eli, I think you said was in preschool.
No, he was it last year? Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm.
No, he had just started kindergarten last year.
Aww.
So he just finished first grade.
Okay.
And we will be moving him through the Michigan Department of Corrections very quickly. he's our challenge with the two kids. But no, he's, and seriously, he's made some bad choices. And with when you're an adoptive parent, you take whatever the birth parents gave you, you know, gave the kid. And there was some drug use with his birth parents, and that materialized this year. And it's been a really, it's been a journey, it's been a struggle, and we've gotten him help, and physical help, some medical help, some pharmaceutical help, and other things just kind of keep him online, but, you know, his parents' bad choices are rearing their ugly heads right now. But he's doing okay. He passed first grade. Anna was the student of the month, which was an amazing thing a couple months ago. You know, so even though, you know, Papa... like I said, you're never drinking alone if the kids are home.
Yes.
They make me crazy, but they also make me incredibly proud. And, you know, that's what being a parent is. And whether you're adoptive or foster... or whatever, you know, you can't, or traditional parent, for whatever that means, you can't guarantee what your kids are going to be like, and you just got to be ready to roll with those punches. And so the big journey this year has been with Eli, but, you know, we're also waiting for the Supreme Court, because he's still not my kid. That's the ugly reality is, when we adopted Anna, there was a judge here in Michigan that would allow us, and I think I talked about this last year, so.
That's fine.
There was, it's in the book. you know, this would be so much easier if you just guys just read my book. Can we just, we'll have a question and answer period next time, okay? That might be easier. Anyway, so Anna is both of our legal child. We both have legal access to her, but we were married in California, and then Eli came along, but because of Michigan's draconian, prehistoric, medieval, asshole laws. Can I cuss on YouTube?
Yes.
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 Fucking A. we've not done anything with Eli because we truly wanted to be, I don't think we wanted to be a test case, but we shouldn't have to do this. If a heterosexual couple marries and they have different kids, you know, whatever, they're legally joined by that marriage. And the incoming parent has access to the existing kid and vice versa. So we kind of just waited to see what would happen. And April and Jane are... we call them our lesbian gangers, or they're our doppelgangers, or our diker gangers. two nurses in Ann Arbor. You know, we're two teachers, they're two nurses. We have a similar adoption story. They have a bunch of different kids from various situations. They're married, but one adopted the other. So we're their male counterparts, but they're the... those bitches got to the Supreme Court and we didn't. So, and I love them. They're awesome people. And, you know, we're just eagerly waiting for them to let us know what the outcome's going to be. But because the Supreme Court's drama queens, they have to wait for the last goddamn minute to let it out. You know, so I'm imagining the Obamacare thing and the same-sex marriage thing are going to be on the 29th.
Ah.
You know,
it's good that you brought that up, because it's one of the things you and I had chatted about before tonight, was potentially tonight's discussion was going to be about the Supreme Court, you know, mm-hmm. saying something, and friends of mine who, you know, work in media, quote unquote, by putting out, you know, LGBT type news, they were like, nah, we're probably not going to hear till the last Monday of the month. And I was like,
of course.
Of course. So,
you know, they're going to wait, but it's impossible to know how they're going to rule. However, if you watch Rachel Maddow, our female cub friend on TV, she's awesome. I love her. You know, she said that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had done this talk in Washington last week, and she was giddy. And she said that she wears her emotions on her shoulders, so, you know, the fact that she was giddy means that she's not, unless she was drinking, which she said she did on the night of the State of the Union. Did you hear that?
No.
Yes or no? Oh, she admitted that she may have been drunk on the night of the State of the Union, because they painted the camera and she's like, Obama's up there talking. She's got a little lacy thing on in her gloves and she's sacked up. I may have had some wine before this, but anyway, she was very happy. So I think that she, you know, I don't want to do any forecasting, but I think it could go our way. But with, I can't imagine them completely outlawing same-sex marriage, because it's been
it's
been going on for 10 years in Massachusetts. So how could they just suddenly say, oh, we're not going to do this? So I don't think they'll actually kill it. I think what they could do would split it and say, well, all right, we're going to allow people that have been married in states that do allow same-sex marriage, the states, if they come to, like, Todd and I were married in California, which is in the book. then we came back to Michigan, which is illegal. They think that they may actually rule and say that, all right, Michigan has to acknowledge our out-of-state marriage, which is a win for us. It's not a win for total marriage equality, but it would still make our lives a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because basically from what HRC had posted recently, three potential outcomes. One is they make marriage equality unilateral, like it's all 50 states and it's done.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
There's the middle ground, which is, because there's two basic questions that are being posed to them. You know, one is whether or not the Constitution requires states to perform a same-sex marriage, which I find to be kind of interesting. The second question is, does the Constitution require states to recognize same-sex marriages performed in other states? So it's the that's where the split can come in, because they can say no, that the Constitution doesn't require it, but that you have to recognize the other states. So in this case, Tom, what you're saying is, because you guys were married in California, Michigan, regardless of its laws or policies, has to recognize, because you were legally married in a state that does allow it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then we went into this knowing that the assholes here in Michigan voted it down and said we couldn't get married, and the legislature has done everything in their power not to fix our roads, but to make sure that we can't get gay married.
Yeah.
And you know, they've killed the film credit here in Michigan, which, you know, a lot of really cool movies have been filmed here in Michigan, but they've axed that, and I'm like, why do I live here? Wait, hashtag pure Michigan. So
the most recent thing, since you're talking about the politics, that really surprised me was about the law that was passed prohibiting adoption by unmarried couples
in Michigan.
Well, right. So here's the goofy thing about the Michigan piece is that state agencies can ascribe religious reasons behind how they allow adoption.
Well, yeah. Agencies, not state agencies. I think it's basically the idiotic law that was enacted in Indiana.
Yeah, Religious Freedom Act.
It's now blown upwind to Michigan, and it pollinated, and they adopted it, and again, why am I here in pure Michigan? Wait, I have to figure out how to do a hashtag and do the Michigan growing game signs. Anyway, you know, I need two other hands doing this. There, I don't know if it's state agencies. I think it's more religious-based ones that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was quite the backlash, and a lot of the different adoption agencies said, we don't care. There are 3,000 kids here in Michigan that need homes. And we're not going to, as long as you are a fit parent, we're not going to discriminate.
Yeah.
So the cool agencies bubble to the top, and the discriminatory ones, like, curled up and said, yeah, we're not going to do that. But it brought the need for kids to be adopted to the forefront, which is what I think is important, because Anna was a private adoption. We were picked by her mom, but Eli came to us through foster care. And, you know, we kind of got to pick him. We could say yes or no, but, you know, his parents didn't have a choice. And we were said, you know, here's this kid, do you want him? And we're like, oh, okay. I'm not doing anything for the next 20 years, so sure, why not? you know, so we, you know, that kind of came our way. But there are still, this is what makes me feel good, is there are still social workers out there who will ignore this mandate,
mm-hmm.
state, and they'll just say, you know what, I don't care if I'm Christian, if I'm Muslim, Jewish, agnostic, atheist, Wiccan, Satanist, I'm just going to say this kid needs to be in a home. And I'm just going to ignore my personal feelings and mm-hmm. put them in a home so they can grow and be the best thing ever.
Which it should ultimately be.
If I had a microphone, I'd drop it right now. I don't. Yeah.
which is what it should ultimately be about. But
right.
I've always concerned myself with what are these people thinking about when they pass things like this? You know, are they thinking about, they're mostly thinking about themselves.
Excuse me.
They're mostly thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about the children that could potentially be placed in harm's way, trying to get them into places where they feel are religiously okay. And it's just, I've often had that, you know, I fear about that. That's my one big thing. It's like, you're putting kids in harm's way potentially by believing that because these two people over here are lesbian or gay or whatever, that they're not able to raise a child. It
right.
boggles my mind that people still to this day have that feeling. So,
well, and I can't remember if we talked about this a year ago, but before Anna came to us, we were contacted by a young girl down in the southern Atlantic states, like not deep south, but like North Carolina. I can't remember where she was.
Mm-hmm.
We did not check anything. We didn't want a white baby. We didn't want a black baby. We didn't want an Asian. We just said we want a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw that. And she's like, well, I want to talk to you about my potentially brown baby that's going to come my way soon. And she said, you know, I'm white, the dad is black and Muslim, and I don't know how this is going to fly. And she said, you guys would accept my kid regardless. And she said, that really made me feel happy, because she said, you weren't judging and you weren't, you know, saying we're not going to take this kid because it's this color or whatever. And so we had quite a few conversations with her, but because the dad had some very strong religious beliefs, he would not allow us to adopt the kid.
Mm.
So they had to pick somebody else. And, you know, so he exercised his religious freedom. Mm-hmm. And but he's a parent.
He
can do that. And the kid was not taken away from him. With Eli's parents, you know, they couldn't stay sober enough to take care of him. And he ended up in the hospital with thrush, conjunctivitis, all the horrible little things that can happen to babies. all these things happened to him at 6 weeks old. And they could not stay sober enough to even come in and get him out of the hospital. So, you know, the state of Michigan said, yeah, you're done. So, you know, they lost their right to parent. And we stepped in. And the social worker didn't care if we were gay or straight. She said, I just want a loving home. And you guys have exhibited that. So there you go. Dropping the mic again. Here. But anyway, so where were we? We kind of got off track. You asked me what had happened the past year. And
yeah, well, we've kind of there. We're still
yeah,
kind of
so, and we touched on the politics, which I knew we wanted to discuss briefly about the Supreme Court, I guess, anticipation factor and the recent thing that happened in Michigan. So what you were saying, though, Tom, from the sounds of it, is that only one of you, Todd, is actually legally a parent for Eli at the moment?
Correct. And when all this, you know, and people say, well, why does it matter? It matters because I'll finally be able to be Eli's legal parent. And the other thing, and this is going to sound greedy and like we're just doing this for the money, but it's not. But I will be able to be on Todd's insurance, which will allow me then to say to my work, hey, I have insurance, and I'll get like $350 a month from my job because I'm not taking the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what. I teach art, not math.
yeah.
That's the, look, hang on, Google calculator.
There
it's
you go.
Money. It's funny. It's a $1,000 a year that we will get that we can use, you know, for our family and $3,600.
Yeah.
And that will be a good thing. And, you know, that's a tangible thing that marriage equality will bring. We will also, you know, like the other positive thing will be Eli will finally be my child. I mean, he says he hates me. He loves me. He hates me. You know, he's seven. Like a day. Here's the Eli meter. You know, where is he? You know?
Yeah.
Depending if I told him no or yes, you know, or yelled at him. But he will finally be my kid. And, you know, that'll be a beautiful thing. And God damn it, we'll finally be legally married. We did our first ceremony.
Aww.
2001. So I got the ring, and it's engraved from, I can't even see it, so screw it. It's engraved from August 4th, 2001. So here we are, 14 years later, still waiting to see if, you know, what we did, knowing it wouldn't be legal 14 years ago, committing. And the divorce rate in Michigan, the average, Todd, because he's more political than I am, and he'll just drop bombs on Facebook. You know, that's how he rolls, is, you know, these are the marriage rates for Michigan, and, you know, we've been together 20 years. The average marriage in Michigan is like 13 years. That's not even counting the lesbians. So, you know, it's
oh.
We've bucked. Sorry, did you dribble when I said?
No.
We bucked the trend with that, and you know, it's not always been easy. But you know, 14 years ago, we decided to put a ring on it. And we're still waiting, you know?
Yeah.
We got legally married in 08, 7 years later. And so here we are 7 years later. Lucky sevens. Rolling dice. You know how that works.
Yeah.
Here for us to legally be married. But then we'll get divorced because, you know, that's what we do.
Yeah. But, like, one of the things that I've often, that, like, I always think about, actually, we just recently, the chorus for our concert this year, we did a song called Rainbow Over Broadway. It was about the levels of commitments that members of the chorus and our friends have had. And the relationships were from as young as, say, a few months to, I think, the oldest couple have been together 39 years.
Wow.
And that just, it breaks my heart, because there are couples out there that have been together that long and for whatever reason still can't get just the same protections that other people can have.
Right.
And Jim and I, I thought it was, people always are freaking out at me and Jim because we've been together 12 years. And I'm going, yeah, well, I now know couples who have been together three times that now. So,
right. And the generational thing is something that has been an issue, because Todd's, he has a family member who's gay. I'm not going to mention the gender. I guess they watch it. Because nobody knows he's gay. Oh, shh.
Anyway.
Listen, why do you guys fly the rainbow flag? Why do you have that rainbow thing in front of your house? Why do you have to advertise it? It's like, I'm not advertising. I'm showing pride. But it's a generational thing. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple of guys that have been together forever, Del and Barry. They were both flight attendants. And they met. They're both fabulous. And they both still have their little, John Waters mustaches from being a flight attendant. And they've been together forever. We celebrated their 25th anniversary, I don't know how many years ago. And they're like our golden girls. They get up in the morning and they have breakfast and they talk about what they're going to do for lunch. At lunch, they talk about what they're going to do for dinner. And at dinner, they talk about what they're going to do for breakfast the next day. They're this little awesome old couple. But they're from a different generation, and they don't want to go to gay pride events. They don't want to be there. I think they're actually kind of appalled that we actually have children. I think Del actually hissed at one of our kids when he saw them one day. It was like Dracula. Ah. But he has kids, so he can do that. but they're like, why are you guys doing this? But it's a generational thing. And so it is what it is. And the mayor of South Bend, Gary, you're in Indiana, right?
No, I'm in Pennsylvania.
Wait, Gary, Indiana. Never mind.
Ah.
I'm going to let it go.
Let it go. Wait, how many times have I watched Frozen since last year?
Oh.
A million. Anyway, never mind. I thought you were down in Indianapolis. But anyway, the mayor of South Bend came out, and he said it's important that people know this. And I've been out since I was 16. I'm 50. All right. So however many years that is, I teach art. I've been out for a long time. And, they talk about, Caitlyn Jenner being brave. She has more money than God. And when you have a support network and you have a place to land if things don't go right, that's not being brave. When you're 16, you're living in Toledo, Ohio, it's 1980, and your mom said, well, it'd be easier for me if you were dead than gay. Actual quote. We've since reconciled, but I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but when these celebrities come out and they're deemed brave, I call bullshit.
Mm.
Because the kid that wanted to come out as gay as a valedictorian, I don't know if you guys heard about that.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
That kid is brave. He has nothing under him. He has no money. He has no support network. And, that's brave. But anyway, I'm sorry.
No problem.
No, it's fine. So I have a question for you. Based on what we discussed last year, has adult time gotten any easier or better in the past year?
Adult time, meaning?
Well, what you what you said last year when we recorded was that, you know, to have adult time with kids requires usually an expense. Given the kids, you know, the children's age, it's a babysitter. Like, you have to...
You're talking about, like, that kind of adult time.
Oh, well, no.
Well, that's under the umbrella of adult
time. Yeah, that's under the umbrella.
Last year, the answer was there are locks on all the doors. So, I mean, that kind of...
I've learned to masturbate in under 10 minutes, so because that's all I got usually.
Love it.
Start the timer and go. You know, it is... You got to plan your. You got to plan stuff out. We still try to have adult time at least once a week where we can go out and not be interrupted,
mm-hmm.
and we actually have a conversation and not have to put a Band-Aid on something or go to the emergency room. Which we are only a week and a half into summer and we've already been to the emergency room for stitches because somebody decided to push their bedroom window out.
Oh. Lovely. So,
yeah, awesome.
So the reason I ask is because I'm friends with you on Facebook, and you seem to post often, like...
I'm sorry.
No, it's probably the one time a week when you guys schedule that you go out. I see pictures of you and Todd. You are a craft beer connoisseur, and you like going out and you know, meeting up with friends and that kind of stuff. And so, right, so you post pictures of, you know, we're at so-and-so brewing company and this, that, and the other thing. And the kids are not always in the picture. So that tells me, oh, Tom and Todd are, like, taking some time and doing their thing. So my presumption is, because the kids are not at an age yet where they're self-sufficient, you know, kind of in the teen years where you can potentially leave them alone, you've got either a babysitter or, like, neighbors or friends or family. Somebody, you know, is kind of helping out in that case.
They're locked in the car.
Very funny.
The window's cracked just a little bit. You know,
yeah, okay. And Child Protective Services is completely ignoring this podcast.
Yeah. But no, I love the idea that you guys get an opportunity to adult. Because I have a feeling that that's needed.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. The brew pubs and places that are here in Jackson, and there's one in Chelsea, Michigan, to the east of us, they're family friendly, which is what, you know, the word pub is short for public house, which, if you look back at the history of that, it was a place for people to get together.
Yeah.
So the Chelsea Ale House is owned by our friends, I don't have a beer, Chelsea Ale House, craft beer in Chelsea, Michigan. Sorry, hashtag. Aubrey and Chris are our parents, and so they know that if parents are going to come out, they need a place for the kids to go, so they have games, they've got stuff for the kids to do. It's awesome. So we do include our kids whenever we can, but we do need adult time, and we do need to go out and, like I said, not talk about Frozen or... Teen Titans Go, or it's like a bear run. I'm sorry, because that's what they talk about. Anyway, collectibles.
Right.
Let me tell you, the purest collectibles. If they could see all the toys that are scattered through here, they would just be cringing because they're not in mint condition in a box somewhere. We do have time to go out, and we do have time to be a couple, and we do have time to be alone, and whether it's with friends or the two of us, it's important.
Yeah.
So did you guys go camping last August? Because you said that the one thing you try to do is that the kids go to the grandparents for a week when you go to camp it and really like have some time to yourselves.
Right. And the new addition since last year is we camped out for like six days at Camp It. Perfect weather in our tent. And then the last night, it unleashed and it rained. And everything we owned was soaking wet. And this is my, God is my witness moment. we actually bought a trailer. Now we have a glamper. We have a 1974 camper that we found here in town, and it's actually very cool. The funny thing is, every time we took the kids with us, we took them back in October to this campground on the west side of the state for their Halloween weekend. It was awesome. However, it snowed, it rained, it hailed, it thunderstormed, there was fog. Every atmospherical thing you could imagine happened that weekend.
Oh, God.
We took the kids a couple weekends ago to the same freaking campground. It rained, it fogged. So the kids have never actually camped with good weather. But I've been to the camper, it's been awesome. And we've had a great time in it, and we're going to sell our tents. But, you know, we've taken it to another level. So
well, it's funny, Chris, when you mentioned that you got the trailer, I suddenly had the theme song for the Jeffersons with Moving On Up in my head.
Right.
So you get the camper, but now the kids have gone camping, and it sounds like the camper has survived, no major issues necessarily with it, but the weather is not working out. So you have yet to have the utopian, quote-unquote, perfect camping with the kids.
We took it in September, and we had a great time with it. We had a flat tire on the way there, but it was a great – we even took the dog. He loved it.
Yay.
We can put the choke collar on legally, you know.
Well, and you have a beautiful St. Bernard, so.
He's my homie. He'll spoon you. If you lay down, Yukon will actually lay down and spoon you.
Oh,
that's adorable.
That's so freaking adorable.
He hates kids just like me, so. Little kids. He has no tolerance for babies. He's come around him, he's like, ah! He gets all cooped on him, you know.
Oh, my.
Through the window. But it's all good. Anyway, that brought the podcast down.
It's fine. So you guys have been able to do some stuff with the kids, have good experiences from the sounds of it. You did the camping and that. And so you're still making the adult time, and it's good. I think that's important that people know that, yes, we're adults and we're doing that. I mean, and that's universal. I don't care what your relationship is. If you're parents, you just need to have some adult time to yourselves and kind of energize the relationship, you know, and be able to, like, yeah, this is the thing that we do. We were this before the rest of this happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think I mentioned this last time. We were going to Traverse City for a weekend, and the grocery list I had said beer, wine, tequila, and then cat food. That was my grocery list to go camping up north, you know. But now it was like, oh my God, I have Amy Winehouse's grocery list, you know. It's like, but now grocery lists involve glow sticks. Almost like a bear run again. Glow sticks, bubbles, juice boxes. You know, it's a totally different way of getting out of town. But it is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
But we try to have Tom and Todd time, and I think that makes us better parents.
I would agree with that. Focus. You can have yourselves, but you also have your kids, and you're not just your kids, and you're not just the couple. You know, that's yeah.
Well, and you know, that's I think in one of the Armistead Maupin books, The Tales of the City, he said when couples are together for so long, they become Tom and Todd, and they don't become Tom and Todd. They become Tom and Todd, and they become this singular thing. And I think when you become a parent, you become Tom and Todd's kids and Tom and Todd's family. And
mm-hmm.
So we try to keep that separate a little bit.
Hmm.
Anyway, you guys can ask me any questions about teaching at the prison.
Oh.
So, well, it's funny that you mention that because my understanding is you have a art show that's premiering on Father's Day.
Correct.
Hashtag surprise. We're recording before Father's Day. There you go.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. The Cell Block 7, which is part of the Ella Sharp Museum here in Jackson. It's a historical and artistic museum. We have part of the Michigan super prison, which is, at one point was the largest prison in the world.
Mm.
And it's a Pentagon-shaped building, and we have one little block of it that's part of the museum. The rest of it, the other four and a half sides, are still an active prison.
Hmm.
So you go up to the entrance, and it's all, you know, wired up and everything, but you go into the cell block, and it's the rest of it, you can look out windows and see prisoners. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of creepy. You know, Alcatraz, the only thing they have there are ghosts. And by the way, we when Todd and I got married in San Francisco, we honeymooned in Alcatraz the next day. That was our honeymoon with Anna. The day after we got married, we were like, screw it, we're here, we'll go to Alcatraz. But anyway, so yeah, the show opens up on Father's Day, and it's in a working prison. It's the first official exhibit at the museum, and I'm really excited about it.
Sweet.
Cellblock7.org, I think it is.
So for clarification, the artwork is being shown in a museum or in the prison?
In the prison, which is now a museum. Does that make sense? They have a little chunk of the prison that's a museum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So all of the artwork has been done by the prisoners?
Correct.
And were you an art instructor them?
I taught art history for the past year at two of the different facilities, and these are pieces of art that the students made, and I collected and thought it'd be cool to show. But I do have to tell you, I get grossed out as a parent on a daily basis. It's like, all right, stepping on the bat this morning. It's like, ah! However, the day they vacated that cell block, they told the prisoners, make your bed, flush the toilet, do what you need to do in the sink, and then just leave. So basically, the 500-plus cells are just as they were the day the prisoners checked out. The museum moved in, and we had four of the cells opened up for us by the state because they're all locked just so nobody gets locked in. So they actually had to open those cells up. And one of my former students, who now works for the museum, she and I are in there hanging up the stuff, and we're cutting the fish line, and I dropped a pair of scissors. We had to move the bed to grab the scissors. There were 500 wadded up tissues underneath this bed.
Oh.
The scissor just like landed right on top of him. I'm like, oh. I'm just gonna leave that right there, okay? Like, no, it's a prison. We can't leave weapons in here. I'm like, so I'm kicking the scissors out of the cell. Like, I'm not touching those. No. So yeah. It was kind of like a moment.
Oh.
Prison realness.
Nice.
But anyway, but there the museum is actually pushing the event as Take Your Dad to Prison on Father's Day. You know, mom gets jewelry and taken out to eat and, you know, nice gifts, but they're like, yeah, take dad to prison.
Nice. So how did you get hooked up with doing the art teaching at the prison?
Well, the college, Jackson College, where I teach, we have a long history with doing prison education. So this is kind of a different resurrection of that. The prisoners actually used to come to the college. They would show up at 1 o'clock in the morning. And then, not making this up, the buses from the prison would line up along the front part of the college, and they would bring guard dogs in, and they actually had gun safes in all the buildings, so the guards came to get their guns, and they would search all the classrooms, and they would bring the instructors in, and then they would file the prisoners in at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going on, but, you know, but now were actually going into the prison, and it's a good thing, you know. They made stupid choice. They made bad. It's like living with kids. They made bad choices, and now they're doing their timeouts. And I can find out what the prisoners did online. It's public record, so I can look them up on the State of Michigan website and find out what they did. And I usually wait until after I meet them for the first time because, you know, that can be awkward.
Yeah.
How many people?
Yeah.
Wait, you elected Duggar? What? Bad touch. But a lot of the guys are there for drugs, and it's really sad because, you know, the economy is so bad here in Michigan. There's not a lot going on, and so I hear a police car going by right now. Hashtag police car. they just run out of things to do, and drugs, whether it's making it, selling it, delivering it, that becomes an option, and the sentences for that are horrifying.
Yeah.
There we go. I brought the podcast down again.
No.
I think it's awesome that you're doing that. It's something unique. You're the only individual that I know of that's got anything to do with that. You know, with people being incarcerated and getting educated in some fashion.
Yeah.
And I think it's very admirable that you do that, because I think we do have a problem with our judicial system in regards to how individuals are treated for whatever the item of discrepancy may be, and yet recognizing their humanity, you know, in some aspect of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we're supposed to call them by their last name or their number?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no. Because, first of all, I'm not going to remember all that. I got other shit to deliver, except this. Oh, wait, your number is, hang on, 0222. No, Bob, come here. You know, and they're you call me by my name, okay? You know, and they're thrilled by that because they're either a number or their last name, and they did horrible things. I'm not gonna lie, but I don't know if you on Comedy Central, Jeffrey Ross, the guy who does all the roasting.
Mm-hmm.
He just went to a prison in Florida, or I'm sorry, Texas, and roasted the prisoners. Like, his balls are this big. You know, he went into this prison and he roasted the guys, and they went and roasted the girls. And I've not worked with women yet in the prison, but he kind of mirrored what I was thinking is, you know, we all need a second chance. And some of these guys, you know, they're going to be screwed for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Either they're sex offenders or they've done some crimes of passion, and they got to figure that out. So I'm not going to lie. I've been there during shift change, and it is a cult movie waiting to happen. Oh, my God. The correction officers. They're shaved heads and beards. Oh, my God. And they get to go in first, so if I'm waiting to come out, I have to be paraded by this parade of beefcake. And I'll sit there with my bow tie and my little art history book and go, hi. Wait, I need to be frisked. Sorry, I need contraband. I'll be up on the wall. But, oh, Lordy, there are so many fantasies that could be fulfilled during shift change. But anyway, I digress. You were saying?
So, I'm curious about something since you just mentioned that. This is kind of personal, and you don't have to answer it. After going to prison, did you talk to Tom about that? Like, what?
Todd, sorry.
About what that situation is? Like, in the environment and...
Oh, man.
All right, you know, porn is porn,
true.
And but rape is never cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a fantasy being portrayed in porn. And speaking of fantasies, here's Todd. Look, it's Todd.
Hi.
Hi, Todd.
Hi, Todd.
My God, he's been hearing everything. Delete.
What a great time to show up, as your husband was just talking about his porn fantasy with
you. Anyway, you were saying, no, you know, rape is never cool, but
he has been very upfront all along with everything that he's been talking to you about with me as well.
Oh.
And it's, the first two classes I taught were in the schoolhouse. But the last session I taught was in a double wide trailer on the prison campground.
Oh my!
Next to me teaching, and there were two bathrooms in the back that actually had locking doors. And it wasn't until about the third week that I realized that each guy disappeared for about 20 minutes. And the stack of, I learned early on that I stopped drinking and eating about an hour before I go to the prison because not going to the bathroom there. I will poop out a window there before I go to any of those bathrooms.
Oh, my.
But all the guys would just disappear from my class for about 20 minutes, go back to the bathroom, lock the door. I'm like, oh, okay. This was their one moment of quiet time. And as a parent, I can identify with that.
Yeah.
Nobody's around me. I can lock a door and no one's going to bother me. So maybe they slept, who knows, but.
Who knows what they did. But it was their sort of time to kind of.
Their time. They missed out on my brilliant lectures, but.
Oh. Shame on them.
No A for you.
No A for you.
I've met some great guys. One of them has actually been released, and I connected with him on Facebook because I wanted him to know that several of his pieces were in the art show. And that probably crossed the line, but I just said, here, this is what I'm doing, you know, if you want to come see it. And it was kind of a cool reunion, so to speak. And we've had some great conversation. I don't know if he's going to come to the opening. I wouldn't blame him if he didn't.
Yeah.
He actually started out in that cell block.
Oh, wow.
And then was moved to the other one. So, you know, it is what it is.
That's pretty cool. I think that's awesome, and I look forward to hearing some good things about it
in
the future.
Thank you.
So,
what else do you want to know?
Well, to be fair, I think we've almost hit the hour mark, and we don't want to keep you from your hubby and life and the dog and the cat and anything else that's exciting. Yeah.
The kids are asleep now, so it's hubby, dog, cat, and then me going to sleep. So we'll put on our CPAPs and I'm Vader, he's Bane. You know, he's it's sexy. I'll send a picture.
Nice.
All the fanboys are like, What?
Don't get it. They know what they're talking about. We have a great bear audience. They will definitely get the references.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jesus Has Two Daddies, number2.com. Where you can find me, Red Dragon Studio, on Blogspot. So, there you go. You got to be the pimp and the whore when you're doing this. So. Anyway, awesome, guys. Who knows what we'll talk about next year?
Oh, God.
Maybe I'll be in prison. I got the tats.
Nice. Nice. You got the tats.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Alrighty.
So I'm just gonna leave that alone.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, Gary, don't let that mind race run too long.
It's already done the lap.
All right, I'm waiting for the click. All right, guys, we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Yeah, thanks everybody for watching and listening to this part of the show, and we appreciate it. And thanks again, Tom, for chatting with us. We appreciate it.
You're quite welcome.
All right. It's time to. And Todd.
We'll see you later.
See you later. Bye.